flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The king. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 405. Every Tuesday at this time, we do the Think Tank. We get a couple of our buddies to come in, usually on opposite sides of the aisle. Today, we have David Barklage and Alvin Reed. Boy, I mean, just the obvious. If there's been a bigger, more active, more impactful first couple weeks of a presidency, I don't know which ones they would be, probably going back to like Martin Van Buren or some crap like that. Dave, what do you think? You happy with it?
You know, I have been a longtime critic of the Trump first term. I thought he got in the way of his policies and put a target on him. Clearly, they were a lot more prepared. I think his wife sort of set the tone by explaining how that when they moved in the first time, they had no plans. They had no really, they were not, had no clue what to do. I think he's shown an adeptness to executing what he said he would. And so to the extent of the transparency, the expediency, the directness, the focus, it's all everything he said. And so to that regard, you know, history may judge what's right and wrong, but he certainly is creating dramatic pause after pause. I would say that's fascinating, though, that he's learned, I think, a lot of lessons, but the press hasn't in watching when he said that he was going to either reassign or fire 80,000 IRS agents and put them on the border, everybody's like, oh, you can't do that. And it's like, that was a throwaway line. And so it's going to be interesting to see round two, how everybody comes out.
Alvin, your thoughts?
Oh, just, I mean, like I said, basically he's doing what he was said he was going to do. He's doing what, you know, many of us warned America what he was going to do. So if you're going to act surprised or shocked or, you know, Washington University, you're in the crosshairs for billions of dollars. And
why is that? I didn't know.
Oh, this is basically with the freezing of they receive a lot of NIH funding and, okay, and different things like that.
Okay.
It's just on hold. And I mean, this is like, you know, you could be mad at DEI, but at the same time, are you mad at people that are trying to, you know, find cures for cancer and things like that?
So I have the president's quote here today. The federal funding freeze, Trump orders pause to all federal grants and loans. And his quote was, the use of federal resources to advance Marxist equity, transgenderism, and Green New Deal social engineering policies is a waste of taxpayer dollars. It does not improve the day-to-day lives of those we serve.
Okay. All right. That's a broad brush. And it's swathing over people, you know, that probably had no idea that they were, you know,
in part of that,
be a part of it, mm-hmm. which, you know, many of us do. Hey, it's coming.
Look,
so
the bigger picture, though, is that he is going to cut everything. I mean, that's what you're going to have to do to get spending in control. And the question is it kinder to cut these things today or let our next generation go bankrupt? And to that regard, at some point, something has to give, and you can't have it all.
Now, we could make guys like Trump pay their taxes.
Well, I'm sensitive to that.
Yeah.
Dan's going to get up and walk out.
Yeah, I'm like, come on. I mean, those guys are all playing the game, right? I mean, they don't take quote-unquote income. They just keep equity and stock and everything else, and you borrow against that to have the cash to spend. So you're the billionaire. but you're not being taxed on it because it's not income. It's not, you're not getting a 1099. You're not getting the W-2. So we got these rules that let the wealthiest of the wealthy get around it. That'd be a good way to get some revenue.
There's lots of things you could do. But, you know, like I said, part of this is what I campaigned on. And like I said, little did you know, like if you don't have a rural hospital, you don't have this, you don't have that. Well, that's all part of it. So I...
Look, at some point, expectation of what government can do had to change. And you know, I think, to your point, I think there is going to be a lot of looking at everything. I don't think you can leave anything on the table if you're going to try to right the ship. And both Republicans and Democrats over the last 15 years have been completely irresponsible fiscally for our grandchildren and our children. And to that regard, pain has to occur somewhere. I hate to see it among any disadvantaged or those people most in jeopardy, but everybody's going to feel it.
What do you think riding the ship looks like, Dave? Is it a balanced budget, or is that sort of pie in the sky?
It's a pie in the sky where we're at today, but, you know, because to get to there, you're going to have to address entitlements, you know, and health care is, I don't know how we can continue much longer on health care. You get, you know, it's costing more and more, a larger part of our economy every day, and it's out of control. People are going to have to change their lifestyle. I mean, the dirty word is that people are going to have to start living healthier, or they're not going to have health care.
What do you think of the approach to the illegal migrants?
Well, it's a problem that I've often said that, you know, can if anyone American, well, not anyone, but just who is this exactly impacting, and, you know, how many jobs is it costing, and all that? I don't know, but okay, great. You round up people and send them out of the country and do all that, but that really has no impact on day-to-day America.
Now, this sort of tickles the conservative part of me because I care about it. First of all, I care about humans. Mm-hmm. So you show me any illegal immigrant, I'm going to feel for them. They're in a position I'm not in, and I feel for them. But on a grand scale, I worry about it when it comes to the economy. Do we need these workers? How many do we need? We need a comprehensive, holistic solution to all of this. What doesn't move me that much is when CNN is telling me 24/7 how scared these people are. I'm scared when my license is expired. I'm scared the 2 years I didn't pay my taxes in the 90s and I was just waiting for the IRS to knock on my door. We all have issues like that. I put myself in those positions. Now, I am analogizing, but I'm not conflating having expired license plates and a $100 ticket from a cop with being illegal. But they put themselves in
that position.
But
those rules are necessary for society. And look, this is where you probably put a bomb where we may differ. I got to tell you that I do think there's equal blame on both parties, whether it's racial, whether it's union politics, whatever it might be, that have stopped meaningful immigration reform. But the answer is not open borders. If you don't have to work to become a citizen, if you are here because some Chinese government gave money to the cartel to bring you here from Guatemala, I mean, I'm sorry for those people caught in the middle. But the bottom line is, until people have to fight for citizenship, stand in line for citizenship, and I want to make it easy so that good people can come here, but they're criminals and they've got to go back. And I'm just saying is that I think it's counter to how our society works, as much as we may need them, as much as there are some benefits, that we must take a stand and close the border and then reopen it in a legal way to more people.
Are you saying they're criminals because they're here illegally, or
yes,
you're calling all of them criminals?
No, I'm saying if you've came here illegally, that you should be returned. And that pains me to say, but look, just to get the criminals, to get the terrorists, to get the undesirables, I believe there's 1.8 million that the Biden administration had slated to be returned. And so that's just that administration. And so before you even get to thinking of the little lady that works at Chick-fil-A or something else, that she's going back, who's really trying to work hard and change her life, there's a whole lot of other undesirables that need to go back. But we have to turn around immigration.
Okay, well, I think that's 20th on my list of things to do. Alvin, you're going to fix the country. I think, well, there's a lot of other things. And I'm not talking race, DEI. I'm just talking to just basic, everyday, how are we going to live America kind of things. And I would start with health care. But
Wheels, how's it hit you?
The immigration thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any problem with saying you need to come legally and we got to do it with a process so you don't get to just jump over the Rio Grande or whatever. But I think there are ways that we could be enforcing this that we refuse to try. We do not go after the companies that hire illegal immigrants. There are huge, huge farming companies that are hiring tons of illegal immigrants. We're not going after them. We're not going after them. There was a story I mentioned already on the air of shipping companies building ships for the Navy that had a lot of illegal immigrant workers, and there was a raid, and they take all the workers away. Nothing happens to the people that are hiring them. They know that they're not legal. They know that they're not paying taxes on those people. They know they're not paying them benefits. But there's nothing. I think if we want to do it, I like the idea of comprehensive, because comprehensive means let's make sure that the companies and the big industries, whether it's construction, whether it's farming, whether it's government contracts. These are government contractors hiring illegal workers because it's cheaper for them. And there's nothing being done to those to say, hey, stop doing that.
I'm going to say something stupid. It doesn't sound that hard to me. It doesn't sound that difficult. You turn off the spigot, you close the gate, and you go, okay, we're going to deal with the people we have here now. And then you have some sort of system where you say, if you present yourself to us, which I understand why you may not want to, but if you do, and you satisfy us that you are a good person here to do work, we're going to give you this authorization, whatever that is, whatever color card it is, and then you are allowed to do X, Y, and Z, but not A, B, and C. It doesn't sound
The reason
that
we
hard.
Don't have it is because competing interests have stopped it.
Yeah.
Whether you're a union, whether you have a problem with brown people, no matter whatever it is, all of them have had a position except for the immigrants and what's good for this country. And what's good for this country is a policy of allowing people who want to work, who can be either taught speak the language and who want to become legal citizens. That is the background of our country. And shame on Congress, shame on Republicans and Democrats for not addressing it before.
And I always like to repeat this, like to be clear, I'm not suggesting that there's only one part to this. I'm saying that's the part that never gets talked about. Mm-hmm. And if you actually want, and this is why I've argued, and you guys might disagree with me, I've always argued, I don't think anybody in power actually wants to fix the problem. I think they want to look like they're fixing the problem and they like to campaign on the problem. Because if you actually wanted to fix it, how hard is it to say you have a government contract? If you're hiring illegal workers, we're going to rescind that contract. If you are a big agricultural company and we find out you're using all these people, there's going to be a $1 billion fine because you're not hiring American workers and paying them a wage and paying for health care and doing all those things. I mean, there are plenty of paths to correcting this problem, but we're only taking one, and that one's going to be hard to actually have an impact, right?
I agree. I mean, I'm sure Governor Keogh, went on his spiel today during the State of the State. And I tell him, I said, like, listen, I don't know who you're after, but if you're looking for somebody, I can take you down to the landscaping company, and I can take you to the roofers company, and I can take you several places.
Yeah, but remember, this is a collaboration because allowing all the illegals in, they quit enforcing all those regulatory issues on these companies because these people are illegal, but they want them to have jobs. So the Biden administration actually fueled something you and I would have thought came from somewhere else, but it's because we got to turn our back. They're all called immigrants. No one's a legal immigrant or illegal alien, and we're not going to enforce any I-9s or anything else because then it's counter to us bringing in these people.
And nobody cracks down on the big industries because guess who donates?
Well, of course.
To political campaigns. And by the way, to everybody with a D and an R.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're not picking one or the other.
No, I agree. No, I was just going to say.
That's why everybody leaves them alone. And we sit here like, why can't we fix the problem? Well, there you go.
There is no one giving money for the greater good of America in terms of immigration and what it should look like.
It was funny you should say that. I said, oh, God, if I was a multi-billionaire and I didn't have anything else to do. Right now, I'd said, like, listen, I think it would be
Would you pay gas on the show?
I would not be liked by Republicans or Democrats because I would just fund, like, commercials. And basically say, like, this is what happened today. And this is what it means to you. And just leave it at that. Because people don't, for the most part, your mind is made up when you're at Fox. Your mind is made up when you're at MSNBC. Your mind is made up. You're just basically, they're preaching to a choir. Our congregation, that is you. So I said, like, but if you pop one of those in the middle of a, you know, like a NFC championship game and say, like, hi, you know, I'm so-and-so, and I'm just want to tell you that XYZ, these are 3-4 facts, and just go from there, and I think people would have a tendency to say, like, I didn't think about that.
Do we get to talk about something we all agree upon, and that's Tashara?
Let's do that after the break.
Little hearts like the one in me.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. We're here with David Barklage and Alvin Reed for The Think Tank. Okay, let's talk St. Louis City. Let's talk Tashara Jones. Let's talk Snowgate. Let's talk all of it. Alvin, you're just saying that if you took over that job, no one would like you but the voters.
No one would like me but the voters. And I think everybody had to walk on eggshells around me because I'd be so quick to fire them. I don't want to hear that my staff lied to me. I don't want to hear that you don't come to work. I don't want to hear any of that. I'm just like, you're bye, leave, sue. I don't care. I just... There's a level of, and this is a county too right now, there is a level of people not doing their jobs, which is to serve the people. They'd rather argue with each other and rather point fingers and just rather not get things done. And that's the one thing that I just would not stand for.
Alvin, if you run, I will move into the city. I will pay the earnings tax, and I'll vote for you.
Well, look at that.
It's a joke. It's a joke, kind of what I'm saying. But I always used to say that. I've said this on the show before. I said, like, I would run for the first congressional district seat if it was the first congressional district and one house in Kirkwood.
You're honest, you're thoughtful, and you're responsible. Yeah. Three things that we don't have in city government right now.
One reason I never want to go into politics because I would run into roadblocks. I would have to make probably some compromises that I did not want to do. I think that goes with being in politics, but I would be a little more, I think, harder edged about, you know, not just services, but just, you know, really whenever something came up crazy, they'd say like, God, you do not want to go in room 200 because he just doesn't want to hear it.
You know why Snowgate is so relative? And that is because it is a visible reminder. Everybody's impacted. If snow's either picked up or not, it's a visible reminder of the absolute incompetence of this administration to pick up trash, to police, to do just about anything. But the snow is easy. I mean, people see it. It's like, why can't this get out? It's easy. It's one of those things where it's like the extra points in a classroom, you know, it's like, what color was George Washington's white horse? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and you fail.
You fail, yeah. Well, I think all of us, when it was that first, you know, deluge hit, and we first looked out of our doors early Monday morning, our first thought was, this is bad, okay? You knew you weren't going anywhere that day, pretty much. You said, this is bad. Now, if you're the mayor of a city and you look out, and you see that, it's like, this is bad. Oh, and by the way, we don't do ancillary.
It's okay.
Breaking news.
Yeah, that's the sound of breaking news.
And we don't do ancillary streets, but that would be, instead of like, we're going to have to do something with these side streets because one day into this, the major thoroughfares are still covered in snow and ice. So that means it's going to be hell. And you knew that it was going to be like 0 degrees in like 72 hours. They said that was coming and you knew it. And everybody
we all knew it.
It's like why was I out doing the top of my driveway and trying to clear a place in front of my house? I said, like, this is going to be impossible 2 days from
now. Not trying to be stupid here, but we all knew it except the street director. But,
yeah, and the street director's like, she's the street director.
Well, on the weekend after, it was 40 degrees for two straight days.
Yeah, but again, operationally, it's no different than anything else, except it's broader, more apparent.
Mm-hmm.
And where has she succeeded? I mean, and do we have more people employed? Do we have safer streets? Do we have really any metric that she has moved forward to help this city grow? And I would argue no.
All right, we got to go. Thank you, boys. All right. Appreciate it.